WILO.
All right, it's 96.9 1027 WILO, your home for classic hits. We are over the hill and rapidly riding downwards for the party line today. And Melissa Miller with me co-hosting today, and Jeremy Fuel coming in to converse with us, Clinton Central Superintendent, right? I did not mangle that.
Yeah, nope, I'm
not
didn't screw it up.
I'm not conflating five different
good.
Sets of data. It's a real pleasure. You and I have interacted with each other socially, but not in this context. So for me, it's fun because I get to interview people I've never met before. Kathy Martin was like that yesterday.
Yeah,
from Healthy Communities. So, Jeremy, pleasure to have you. And Melissa, if you want to start, we thought that would be a fun segue out of the athletics.
We were just talking about the athletics part of it, and I know you were an athletic person in school and everything. So what was kind of the stuff that you were interested in, and was there anything that you would have liked to have tried that you didn't?
Oh man,
you know, that maybe your school didn't offer, or that you just couldn't fit it in.
Yeah, so I was a Mechanical High School graduate, just north of Kokomo there, about similar size of Frankfort. Actually, my high school basketball sectionals were actually played in Case Arena, so that was very fun and interesting. But I was a basketball kid and a football kid. Played baseball for a little bit, but I was not good at it, so did not try that too much. But my college roommate, he went to a big school, went to North Central in Indianapolis, and he played lacrosse there, and so that was an interesting one. I mean, obviously schools around here don't offer that. You have to get in the kind of bigger cities to do that. And
it's like rugby. Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when I went to college, I was a co-rec worker, and I had to supervise events and everything. And rugby was one that I supervised. And watching that rugby, lacrosse, some of those things out there, and getting used to it, that's very unique. Ice hockey's one. I've recently just started going to some ice hockey games over the last couple of years, and watching that, learning the rules of it, that'd be a unique one to be able to try out. So.
I've heard people talk about Gordie Howe in Canada. Keith Olbermann has talked about this. When Gordie touches you on the shoulder, it's almost paralytic. You're just like, I can't feel anything.
Yep, exactly. Hey, I like my teeth too much. I don't think I could play hockey. So
same. So we have a lot of stuff we need to talk to you about, and I think
one of the most exciting things right now is the referendum passed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Huge. Did a lot of research on that. We did a lot of work leading up to that, not just me, but the teachers, administrators, school board members, community members really stepped up on that. But afterwards, I was like, man, the more I spent time talking to community members, farmers, the more confident I became that it was going to pass leading up to the election. But I was like, okay, hey, last time it passed at about 63-64%, I was confident we would hit the 60s. But to come in at 83.6%, I was like, man, that's pretty good. So I started doing some research. IU has a website that tracks all past referendums, whether they passed or failed. And that 83.6 all time put Clinton Central as the number 10 pass rate for any referendums in the state of Indiana. So that's phenomenal for Clinton Central, for the community, just to value the teachers' programs, students, and what we're offering there, to be able to continue to generate that revenue to continue to do what we're doing, expand our academic programs.
What do you think? And I apologize and you're welcome to not answer if you feel like you're overstepping on this. Why do you think that is in Clinton County, Clinton Central, versus so many other counties that you would expect that would be more? I mean, how do you have that level of success there?
I think for us, it's always easier to pass a renewal than it is to pass an initial. For historically, when you look back at the past data on it. But for us, I think the community has seen what the dollars have been used for since 2016.
There's visibility and practical application.
Absolutely. And we've done a decent job. We haven't done a great job just with turnover with the superintendency. And my goal with it is to every year in December, January, put out to the community, hey, this is the money we generated from the operating referendum was X number of dollars. Those dollars went to X, Y, and Z for the school, and really laying that out there. So our community has a firm understanding going forward on what we're utilizing those dollars for. Mm-hmm. And we did a good job of being very transparent to our community about what we have used those dollars for and what mm-hmm. we're going to continue to use those dollars for. And if we don't have those that revenue, what we could potentially have to lose and cut. This is an additional revenue for us. Mm-hmm. This is just, hey, we're going to be able to maintain status quo of what we've had for the last 7 years. So being able to have that and lay that out to the community, just be 100% transparent on it. Mm-hmm. I'm an open book, and I'll lay that out to the community and answer any questions for them on that. And I think that really helped us compared to some other communities that weren't successful in passing their referendums.
Well, and you look at the football fundraiser you guys are doing this this weekend. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect example. You have a I wouldn't say a shortfall, but you know that you need at least around $50,000 mm-hmm. to put that together for all those football players. And so the fact that these guys and the coaches are willing to get out there and volunteer and offer their services in exchange for donations yeah. is, I mean, so many students in my time 30 years ago would have been like, yeah, the boosters will figure it
right,
out.
Right, right.
Because we sound like old crusty men for some reason at the yeah. age of 16. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. yeah, good on you for that, for supporting that.
It's educational funding has changed so much over the years and just over since 2010, 2011, 12 time frame. Mm-hmm. They've changed the way funding is, and we're very limited on how we can use the funding that we get, whether it's locally, federally or through the state, and we have to just because we have a pot of money here doesn't mean we can spend it on whatever we want. We have
tricky,
to allocate,
tricky
yes.
accounting. You yes, can't absolutely. Take money for the track and use it on the band.
Absolutely,
or
absolutely. I mean, I just went to me, my business manager and corporation secretary went down to the IASBO conference for Indiana Association for School Board Officials last week, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of regulations within educational funding and some of the accounts that run big time CEOs or accountants with big time firms, they don't want to go from regular business world into the education setting just because of all the regulations that are there
yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
So,
you know, talking about the funding and everything for education, how important was it to see the CTE get put back into the budget?
Absolutely. That's huge. I mean, I know all the local superintendents and community members within our community and surrounding communities were reaching out to state representatives to get that word out there on it. And so that's huge. I mean, and it really didn't make sense not to have the funding. I mean, the state's geared the graduation pathways to be able to allow the CT to help students through those pathways, and to cut the funding makes zero sense with yeah. what the state's been trying to do. And so definitely beneficial for us, and especially looking at schools like us that have big ag programs, we're building our business programs, all those different CTE programs that we have, we need to have that extra funding to build those up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and that has to go towards the Career Tech Center, because, I mean, if you don't have that funding, what use is the Career Tech
Center?
Oh, exactly.
There is none. I mean, there's zero use for it at that point in time. And so, I mean, we've all had those conversations throughout the community. I mean, it would have killed that. It's huge for that to be able to be part of the budget going forward. So
I know we have had Anita Stewart in not too long ago, and since we're on the subject, we might as well talk about the mm-hmm. Career Center just a tad bit, because I want to get back to Central
yep.
specifically. But as far as the Career Tech Center goes, how do you feel like it's being received in the community and in the business world in our area?
I think that we're gaining some traction with it for sure. It's we still got a long road to go with it. We just got to keep chipping away at it and allocate the funding for it. I think there is a unanimous vote out there that we need it. It's just, okay, hey, we got to get the funding. We got to find creative ways to fund this and make it happen. And again, you go back to schools, when you're putting four schools together, four schools are limited on how funding can come from the schools to build something like that, and it makes it very, very tricky and virtually impossible for the schools to fund that specifically. So we have to have the business and industry involved. We have to have private donations from community members involved in generating the funds to make that. And I think there's a unanimous vote out there that we need this in Clinton County. We need to have that to continue to develop our local economy here in Clinton County for the short and long term benefit of our industry.
I know at one time you guys were looking for somebody to help, like, write grants mm-hmm. or anything with that. Have you been been able to find somebody yet?
So they, our last board meeting, they were looking into that. I don't know. We haven't had a board meeting. This was a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure where we're at with that at this point in time. But they are looking at that to be able to secure somebody that can take that role on. Because you look at superintendents, we're not going to be able to we can do some work with it, but we can't allocate our 100% of our time towards that. So we need somebody that can really spearhead that and take that on full bore and make some things happen with raising the funds for that.
Yeah, I know firsthand grant writing is not fun.
Nope.
It's not fun.
Nope.
It's very time consuming. And you have to have somebody who understands all of that.
Yep. I've done that from the public radio side of it, and it is not a pleasure.
No. Mm-hmm. I've done it from the agricultural side of it, and it's not at all.
This almost goes to your point earlier about people who don't necessarily want to go on the educational side because the rules and regs are such a pain, and that's kind of the same with the, I mean, good luck.
Absolutely. You got to have somebody that they got to be good at writing. They got to understand what's out there, what the regulations are, how to write grants in a certain way to be able to receive them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of things to do with it. It's not something that I would necessarily want to sign up for. So
Right.
Graduation's coming up.
Absolutely. We're excited. It's always an exciting time of the year winding down. We have a group of seniors coming through, class of 23, and we're excited to be able to get them all to graduate. And at this point in time, where we're looking at a 100% graduation rate at Clinton Central.
Wow.
So
that's great.
We're as long as things line up for us with them, that'll be big. We have a smaller class. I don't know exact numbers, low 50s, between 53 and 55 kids, somewhere around there in this class.
Still though.
But yeah, I mean, be able to get those kids through and get them all graduated. That's a testament to our administration, our teachers, our counselors, and everything they're doing there at the junior senior high school.
Well, and I know one of the things that I've been impressed with all four of our schools, but I know Clinton Central for sure, almost 100% kids when they graduate know what they're doing.
Beyond that,
you know, whether they're going on to post-secondary or maybe a technical school or what.
Absolutely. And I look back at, I mean, part of the referendum, I was looking at some research on that. I'm like, okay, hey, we've used these referendum dollars to work with our students and provide them opportunities. Well, part of those referendum dollars have allowed us to raise almost $3 million of scholarship funds over the last 5 years for our seniors. So when we combine those totals, and that's with COVID time and when scholarships declined.
Right.
So our students over the last 5 years or so have been able to receive right around $3 million of scholarship funds. So our staff does a great job of working with our students to help them find those free monies that are out there to help them go on to post-secondary education.
It's impressive numbers. Yep. $3 million is mind blowing. Yep. And that's over what time frame?
About 5 years. About a 5 year time frame.
So roughly a little more than $500,000 every year. That's astonishing.
Yep. It's great. It really is.
Summer programs.
There's a lot of them. We do we have summer school that'll go for our high school the first 4 weeks of June. Once school gets out, elementary does a little bit different. They do 2 weeks in June, and then they kind of do a back-to-school program, so the last 2 weeks in July leading into the start of the school year. We'll have that. We have elementary swim programs going on. Football has a lot going on as well, football and basketball with camps and those sorts of things going on. Our ag department's heavily involved in the summer, so it's exciting to get those things going on and for all of our students to be involved in.
How's the construction going?
It's going very well. So with the new high school office, district office, that's the old library, that is actually, we're about 6 to 8 weeks ahead of schedule right now with that, so which is good. The completion time frame for that was December, this upcoming December. The only holdup on that's going to be the rooftop units. Those are about a 33-week lead time, so that we're going to be ahead of time, but probably right on time with the waiting on the rooftop units. So if those would be earlier, we couldn't possibly move in earlier. But it's all making progress. We've got our transportation building did a little bump out on it. It's about finalized at this point in time. We've started working on the old weight room. It's being demoed to add space to our wrestling practice area. That's a big program for us. Our elementary and high school, junior high wrestling programs are big. A lot of kids involved in that. So we're adding some space to that, but also creating a maintenance room for our maintenance staff to be able to operate out of. And here soon, later this week or early next week, they're going to start the demo and excavation for the new high school athletic entrance. And plug away on that. So we're shifting, moving things around to keep on schedule or ahead of schedule with the building project.
So supply chain issues have not hung you up?
Not yet. HVAC's going to be the big one. HVAC's going to be the big one that we're holding up, that could potentially hold us up a little bit. So we'll see where that falls. Hopefully it doesn't hold us up too much, and we can at least stay on schedule, if not ahead of schedule a little bit.